Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It is high noon in the District of Columbia. In a few minutes, you're going to hear from Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt. But right now, we're excited to jump on the Rude Guest Hotline. Talk to our guy, Mr. John Walton, voice of the Caps right here on the flagship Caps radio station, 106.7 The Fan.
A bigger Prince fan than I am.
That's true. That's true. Walton, what's up, dude?
Yeah, I was busy jamming there. Sorry, I kind of zoned out for a minute. That was nice.
Oh, yeah, John. They know what to play when you're coming on, bro.
I know. I love that. I can't tell you how much I love that every time I come on.
Hey, what did you take away from the game last night?
You know, I think there's a lot of things that were fine. The five-on-five play I could have seen a little bit more of. I thought Boston did a really nice job of, you know, keeping tight defensive gaps against the guys. I think they were a little frustrated. Power play could have easily gone their way. They had a lot of chances, and I thought, especially the first couple, I thought, you know, you're facing a hot goalie, and sometimes that's going to happen. So I just hearing from what Tom Wilson and Jacob Chychrun said after the game, a little bit from Ovi too, I really kind of felt, you know, the game was right there, and sometimes you're going to run into a goalie, it's going to make your life miserable. I thought Swayman was excellent last night. I thought LT was pretty good too. I think Thompson was probably deserving of a better fate, but in the game one of 82, it's just there's always a lot more focus on that first one because you got the red carpet and everybody's back and everybody's pumped and you want to make sure the party goes the way it's supposed to. But I think all in all, I mean, going to New York this weekend, real chance to get back on a beam and just, you know, tighten a few screws and be on their way.
What was the vibe in there last night? I mean, it was low score until the third. You know, it was just how excited was everybody for the season to start, and then just how did that game continue?
Yeah, I thinking back to, you know, when Wilson scored in the third period, I was like, okay, you know what? This is where the roof caves in on Boston and it caves in on Swayman. They're going to generate momentum off of that. And then it was taken away almost immediately, and I think that was where the game was probably lost. I think if they had a chance to build up some of that momentum, I mean, you could kind of feel the building charge up when that happens. So unfortunate that they didn't really get that chance and a puck goes in the net the other way at the wrong time. But, I think that's, you know, it's going to happen. I think it's always when you've got that many people, coming down, excited to see him, and the building was pretty jammed. I thought it was great. I mean, just, you know, the red carpet over the years is, you know, kind of evolved a little bit where it's always that, you know, special time when everybody comes down early and takes off work early. And, you know, it's kind of fun being out there. We don't get outside much, so it's nice to be able to look up in the sky. That was pretty cool. And the rain held off. So, it was pretty cool.
So I asked Ted this last night. I got to interview Ted Leonsis, and I'm going to ask you the same thing. This
nice
time
name
last
drop.
Year,
that was nice. That was good.
Yeah, you like that? Yeah, he's the owner. this time last year, there was so much focus on Ovi's goal chase, right? And he eventually got home on that, and it was this really, really fun and exciting kind of subplot, maybe even the main plot to the season. That is not the case anymore. I understand, you know, every time Ovi scores, we're going to be keeping track of it. And, you know, he's going to get to 900 here, probably relatively early in the season. Just what is the focus this season when you think about it?
You know, it's funny. It's a question that I started getting the vibe about this time last year, maybe a little bit later, maybe it was the end of October. And talking with Logan Thompson and talking with some of the guys that came in. And Thompson, to me, is always the guy that personifies this best, that kind of chip on the shoulder. You know, a lot of people don't think we're very good. You know, the team was – when you looked at the roster, there are a lot of new faces. How would they assimilate? And I thought they would be pretty good. I'd be lying if I thought they were going to run away and win the division in a walk like the way they did. But – you know, that was a theme that we started to hear. It's like, yeah, well, you know, nobody gets up for the Caps and everybody thinks we're not very good. And, you know, lo and behold, we are. And then you got later in the year and then you had the Ovi chase along with, hey, you know what, this team's pretty good. I thought that was behind us a little bit, just because after 111 points, you'd think so, right? And then you start reading, you know, The Athletic puts out there 1 to 32, like where do the teams stack up from the very best to the very worst? And in a 32-team league, they've got them at 14. I was like, wait a minute. Like, they were down to the, you know, literally the last 4 days of the season, they could have won the President's Trophy and had the best record in the league, and they have all the same guys back. And why are they there? And I found that curious, but it turns out that the hockey players and coaches read those things too. And they're like thinking along the same line. So in being around Thompson, especially, and Spencer Carberry was asked a little bit during the preseason too, it is a little mystifying to them, but I really think that they use that as fuel. And you know, there's a little bit of, hey, listen, we're going to show you. And yeah, I really believe with the character of the guys in this room, yeah, you don't have this gigantic hockey history that everyone talks about and we'll talk about for the rest of time, but you have a guy they'd like to win for, that same guy. And then you have a team that of guys that came from other places where they want to be able to get further than they did last year. They've got to find a way to beat Carolina. Hurricane's still a pretty good team, but you know, when you look at it across the board, this is a team that should be right there. And you know, people want to talk about the Rangers. I didn't think the Rangers were very good at all the other night. I watched their first game. They got shut out at home to Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh is struggling. And they're an older team and don't have, you know, all the horses. And New Jersey, they're hurt all the time. I'm like, well, where exactly did they think this team was going to fall? And I think they use that to be able to say, hey, listen, you know, the we'll show you mentality, I think, runs through that room. Not all of them talk about it, but I definitely have gotten that sense in there.
John, you can't expect a 40-year-old guy to go out and carry a team. Ovi will have his moments. He'll have some fantastic moments. But there are a lot of young guys on this squad that seem to be ready to take that step. Is this kind of a situation where it's kind of the changing of the guard? You still got the man there. But still, it's a changing of the guard?
It is, and I think we've seen that. I think you can go back even 2 years ago, B mentioned, you know, they didn't make the playoffs, but, you know, they traded Hathaway, and they traded Orlov, and they got some picks, and they went out and got Sandin. And at the time, they called it the retool on the fly. And, you know, even at the time, I'd say, okay, you know, it's one thing to say that, but, you know, how do you do it? How do you back that up? How do you keep the sun in the sky for Alex in the late stages of his career here? And Brian McClellan and Chris Patrick in a brilliant manner went out and identified, you know, Logan Thompson and Matt Roy and Jacob Chychrun and basically built the best defensive core in the NHL. And I even the people who don't think this team is as good as they think they are, it's pretty undeniable that this is the best E-core around. You've got Jacob Chychrun on your third pair, and he scored 20 goals last year. That's pretty good. And they're very, you know, helpful to their goaltenders. And, you know, I think there's a lot that they do that's really good. That part's okay, but it was, you know, how do you keep that going? And, you know, that's the prospects. And Alexei Protas stepping up and getting 30 goals last year. Tom Wilson getting to 33 goals last year, which was incredible. You know, they've got there's a lot of guys that hit the gas, and Connor McMichael was one too. And now you're looking at, yeah, that changing of the guard too, where you've got, you know, what can the third line do? What's Ryan Leonard going to do this year? First full year in the league. What's Henrik Lapierre going to do? They need that line to be good. That wasn't very good last year. That was the one thing among the team last year. They just didn't get a lot of offensive production from line three. And you've got to be able to have all lines, you know, contributing and doing what they need to do. But, you know, Henrik Lapierre had a great camp. And Ryan Leonard's a top 10 pick and comes in. He led all of college hockey in goals last year. So, you know, once they figure that out and once they're able to do their thing, I mean, that's where I think a lot of that transition continues.
Of all those guys you mentioned, of all the really, like, pleasant surprises, if you will, or even, like, Willie breaking out like that offensively, who of those guys, maybe it's Chychrun, like there's a lot of dudes, Protas, who do you think has another level to hit?
You know, it's funny you say Protas last because I look at him and
I mean, skating physically.
Billy. When I saw, yeah, I mean, and his brother too, right? I mean, you've got to, we're scouring Belarus as we speak to see if there's any other distant relatives or anybody else we can sign up here. My goodness. I mean, Ely at 6'6", and, you know, he isn't quite ready for the NHL, but he's going to go down to Hershey and get a chance to play 20 minutes in a game. And, you know, just watching him make a move to the front of the net, I think back to preseason where there's a, you know, he's just playing right at the right post and a puck comes to him and he doesn't score, but just so physically imposing. Alexei's skating from 2 years ago to now is so much better, and he's fast. And when he gets going at 6'6", tough to catch him. And, you know, he got a couple of shorthanded goals last year that way, and a great touch and a great shot, and he moves the puck really well for his line mates. I mean, that's, I think there's more there. I mean, it's tough to say that about a guy that was so successful last year, but I just who's going to stop him? I mean, it's 6'6", and to be able to skate like that, and there's a lot coming in the pipeline. I think it's really encouraging in the what will certainly be the post-Ovi era in the coming years here, where you've got so many guys that they've drafted with size and speed, and, you know, a lot of them are in Hershey already, and others will be there soon in the next year or so. And they're all going to, I mean, it's a good group coming, as good as I've seen in the 15 years I've been here. I don't think it's ever been better than it is right now with what's coming. So a good way to, you know, we're talking about that transition. I mean, that's what you're looking at. And there's a lot to transition to, and I think it's pretty exciting.
The transition, I've said this repeatedly. I've been really excited, and I really like tip my hat to how the Caps have kind of rebuilt on the fly and gotten younger and gotten faster while allowing Ovi to continue to be a big part of this, allowing him to break Gretzky's record. But at the same time, it's like they're rebuilding on the fly. You lose Oshie, you lose Backstrom, you still have Wilson, you still have Carlson, but this thing has really turned over. There's this weird need in our world for everybody to wonder what's next, and I think a huge part of that is wondering if this is Ovi's last year. It's my understanding he's like, man, as long as I'm playing well and we're winning games and I'm a part of that, I'm in no hurry to make a decision. Is that consistent with what you see and you hear, John?
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way of putting it, and I think only he knows. I don't think there's anybody internally or externally. I think he will do what he sees best and best for him and what he loves to do and what made him successful for more than two decades and the greatest goal scorer of all time is that he loves to come to the rink and he loves to score goals. And as long as he's doing that, I think he's going to keep going. And if he decides that, hey, you know what, I don't know that I have this in me anymore, then I think that day will come and none of us want to hear it, but then it'll happen. But I truly believe that he hasn't decided. I don't think he has, because, you know, he gets life from being around the young guys. I mean, you know, pass attempts and trying to, you know, he had one in the game last night where he was trying to feed Protas, and I thought, you know, here's a guy who, you know, it's three goals from 900, and a lot of times, more often than maybe people think, he's looking to pass and looking to lift others up around him. And, you know, I think as long as he's enjoying that, as long as he's doing that, as long as he feels that needs to be a part of his life, he's going to do it. So, yeah, I don't know when it's coming. I'm kind of one of those that, you know, he's made my career with all the places that I've gotten calls that I never would have believed. So I'm in no hurry for him to go anywhere. But, you know, I'm just going to live in denial and into myself and saying that this is just going to keep going and going and going. I don't want to think about it.
What kind of game you anticipate Friday night with the Islanders?
Yeah, you know, with the Isles, this is, you know, their team in transition. I mean, they've got a new general manager who, funny enough, I know very well. Matthew Darche was a goal scorer and a good one at the AHL level when I was in Hershey, and he took over as general manager. He is an A1 human being, and he's a really good hockey guy. He is going to make the Islanders better, but right now they're not a playoff team. So I think, you know, they've got the number one pick we're looking forward to seeing in this past year's draft, Matthew Schaefer. Defenseman can skate like the wind. He's the youngest D-man, I think, to step in for the Islanders, maybe in their history. Just now turned 18. But they're a team that is, you know, coming off of the last regime of general manager there that, you know, they're old, they're slow, they didn't have a lot of prospects, and they're turning the page and kind of starting fresh. They're going to be good in a couple of years. I have every confidence in the guy that they just hired for the job. which isn't great news for the Caps. But in right now, I think going into that building, there's always going to be the emotion. It's going to be their home opener. So, you know, player introductions and the players or the fans just like here last night, I mean, they're going to be all fired up. But, you know, I think they're going to be fine. And then you got the Rangers on Sunday where, you know, I was not impressed with them. I think that they will get it together. I think they'll be better than they were last year when they just bottomed out. But, you know, they're going to be playing on the back half of a 2-2, the same as the Capitals. So I think if they can go and have a really nice New York weekend, they can come back home in a really nice stretch of games, guys, coming up after this weekend where they're 5 of the next 6 are going to be at home. So chance to, before the schedule really gets nasty in November, to kind of build some standings equity. And I think they've got a pretty good opportunity to do that.
Do I remember, didn't the Rangers sell off a bunch at the trade deadline, or did they acquire?
There were some. They had a weird year. So Jacob Trouba was there, and they traded him, and they traded Chris Kreider, and they got some pieces back. They've got a really good goaltender. Igor Shesterkin is one of the best in the league. So they're not going to necessarily give up a whole lot, but they don't really have the scoring that they did 2 years ago either. So and they did no scoring in their opener, 100th anniversary, and everybody fired up at MSG, Pittsburgh in town, a bit of a lesser team right now, and the Penguins just spanked them on the nose and left with a 3-0 win. So they're going to be a little angry, too. They've got a game in Pittsburgh on Saturday before playing the Caps on Sunday. So, yeah, we'll see. But it'd be nice to pick up a nice 4-point weekend and a little time in the city on Sunday.
Who's my guy that Willie threw off his back like a lantern fly? Panarin?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, back when during COVID there with the like a lantern fly. I like that.
Is that dude drives me nuts. He's a good goal scorer, but he's annoying. Is that dude still?
Yeah,
on the
and
Rangers?
He had a bad year last year, and he's still very talented. I mean, that's something you got to look out for. But yeah, that's that there is a little bit of history there with 43 and that guy.
Remember when we were there 2 years ago for the playoff series? He was pretty good, and all the fans had like bread heads for Panarin. I'm excited hockey's back, dude. I confess that it doesn't get my full devoted attention till football's over, but it's great to have Caps games on, man. I'm excited.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's funny because, you know, as it started, I was out front last night doing some TV stuff, and you're like that tiny little chill in the air, and then you get up today, and it's like, ooh, it kind of feels like fall out. Must be hockey
yes,
season.
Yes, it does. So,
yeah, time to get after it.
Indeed. Thank you, John. We always appreciate your time.
John.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Anytime.
All right, man.
All right. That is the great John Walton. You can hear his call right here on 106.7 The Fan. Caps' next game is Saturday, 7 o'clock in Long Island, taking on the Islanders. You can give John a follow at John Walton PXP. When we come back, Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury address the media. Let's see what they say. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
I never know the words to songs. Landfill. I'd like that. You know what? I just decided something. When I drive home from Ashburn this afternoon, whenever the hell it is, and it takes me 90 minutes because of the traffic in Tyson's, I'm just going to listen to Prince. Prince Radio, Prince Playlist. I'll decide. But that's going to be my afternoon.
Smart man.
What we're going to listen to right now, though, is another smart man. Commanders offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury addressing the media, starting with, listen, Bill has made a big impact on this organization. He's now won 2 Rookies of the Week. He just won a FedEx Ground Player of the Week. Bill looks like the real deal, and I'm curious, for Cliff, what's impressed him most about the rookie running back?
Yeah, I think the work ethic, first and foremost, as far as things that have impressed me, doesn't make the same mistake twice. And throughout camp, when he touched the ball, good things happened. Still has a ways to go away from the ball. But I would say just the constant improvement earned him more touches.
That away from the ball, is that blocking mainly that you're talking about?
Yeah, everything that's not carrying it when you're talking about pass protection and pass game, any sort of lead blocks that he's asked to do. Like, he just has to keep working and become a complete back. But since day one when he got here, when he touches the ball, he tends to do good things with it.
And for running backs, we often talk about how they need, you know, kind of volume to get going. But he's a guy that, you know, even when he had limited carries, he's been able to make the most of them. What's sort of the challenge of doing that for running backs, and why do you think he's excelled so much in that area?
Yeah, I think the O-line's played at a high level for all those guys. When you look at some of the yards per carry that all those backs have had, I think it's been pretty good thus far. And the guys like to play, like to get in the rhythm, but he has a knack for kind of finding it whenever he gets his opportunity, and he can make some plays that aren't there, that aren't blocked up as well as you would like. And so I think that's kind of allowed him to have some success early, and hopefully it continues.
Between him not really playing his last college football season and, you know, being a seventh-round pick early on, I'm sure he didn't get a ton of reps. You know, what work did you see him do when he wasn't on the field and getting those reps to try to improve?
Yeah, he just always wants more. I think that's the biggest thing. He'd hop in, you know, if we're not careful, we look out, and he'd be out there with the ones from day one. He believes in himself, high confidence level. But I just think has a big chip on his shoulder, like you said, from not getting to play his senior year. You know, he went to the All-Star game, really had a great week there, and then has just carried that confidence with him.
What was your evaluation of Jaden's performance on Sunday, and I guess specifically with regards to sliding, taking care of the ball, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I thought he protected the ball well. It's a good defense that we faced, and I liked that we started slow, and he was really unfazed by that, just continued to play at a high level, had some good throwaways, and kind of knocked the rust off and led his team to a victory.
And then a guard with Chris Paul, I mean, really hit the ground running. How do you envision the future of that spot when Sam comes back, and is this kind of his job to lose, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it?
Yeah, we're taking it week by week as we go, but I've been really proud of Chris and his performances. He's played really well for us, been physical inside there, and from last year to this year is a completely different player. I think his play style, the effort, came back in better shape and has really elevated his play.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach. I know you guys were really high on how Luke McCaffrey came into the program this offseason. Even from that point to now being able to contribute the way that he has, what have you kind of seen from him since then?
Yeah, just continues to get better and better, like we talked about. I really liked how he came back, the attitude, you know, the physical shape he was in, and has just taken and run with it. It was a lot to ask him to play inside and outside last year, and I think he's settled in now, and we have full confidence wherever we put him, he's going to go make a play, and I know Jaden does too. So that's been cool to see that connection kind of grow in year two.
And I know a lot of time receiver blocks don't necessarily get noticed by all that many, but there was one specifically, that mm-hmm. big run by Bill on the right side where he's engaged with one charger, another one's coming, he kind of puts his body in the way. I know it entertained Jaden. What were your thoughts just kind of when you watched it in real time and then when you broke it down on tape?
Yeah, that's awesome. We talk about that, like, playing longer than the guy with the football and playing away from the football, being a lead at that. And he takes a lot of pride in it. He practices in a practice. If you watch the film, he's a guy, anytime the ball is thrown or it's a good run, I mean, he's sprinting into the screen. And so to see it show up on Sunday was cool to see.
We've talked about Debo before, but I'm going to ask again. When you see, like, people talk about his energy, how do you see that playing out, whether it's on the field, meeting rooms, how do you see that?
Yeah, just the competitive nature. I mean, he is as competitive as I've been around. I mean, on game day, he sets the tone with the intensity, the focus. You know, when he touches the ball, it's, you're like, okay, here we go. And I think that gives us all a lot of confidence when he's out there. But he's practiced every day, you know, when he hasn't had any sort of issue, that he's been here from spring workouts on. Like, he wasn't asking for vet days, wasn't taking days off, and he just loves to play. And I think that is infectious.
And when you have guys like Terry Noah out, and he's obviously a guy defenses know you're going to want to get to, what's the challenge for him, and why is he still able to get the ball so much and do something with it?
I would say just his versatility. I mean, they know we're going to try to get him touches, but he can play outside, he can play inside, he can play running back, he can do it kind of all. And I think that allows me as a play caller and us as an offensive staff to be creative in how we get him the ball and continue to try and find ways to do that.
Did you give Luke any instruction or set goals for him in the offseason to really work on certain stuff?
No, I just think as an organization, we all kind of gave him a vision for what we saw in that role, what it could look like. And he came back really focused and really understanding, like, we have some really good wideouts on this team, and so if I'm going to contribute, this is what my role needs to be, and I need to be a master of the offense, understanding inside, outside, and then the play style, and he's done that. So it's really, as a coach, and I know Bobby feels the same way, it just makes you super proud to see a kid dedicate it whole offseason to it and then come back and have the results he's had.
And then with Bill, I mean, given that he didn't play all but one game at Arizona, how much did you know about him before you got him? And, you know, after first seeing him, did you expect this to
be what you get? I didn't know much, to be honest. I didn't know his name was Bill, first and foremost. But I think from day one of just being here, just you could tell the run style was unique. He had twitch, he had quickness, and then just he wants to play every play. Like, he loves the game. He's eaten up by it, and so those things kind of shine through from day one.
Hey, Cliff, with regards to Josh Connerly, by the stats, he gave up a few pressures, but I'm just curious, what did you think of him, not just in this last game, but just now that we're into week five?
Yeah, he just continues to improve as well. We talked about the stretch he had to open his career there at right tackle was kind of a murderer's row of some of the top pass rushers in the NFL, and so I think he learned a lot from that, and the more he plays, the better he's going to get. He's another guy who he's very conscientious, comes from a great program at Oregon that was really well coached, knows how to study film, knows how to prepare, and so those things, as the season goes on, he's going to have his ups and downs, but he'll continue to get better.
And with no disrespect to Andrew Wiley, when Sam comes back, are there certain aspects you think are going to really help Josh just based on what you've seen, his strengths and weaknesses and what Sam can do?
Yeah, we'll see how that all plays out. You know, I think anytime you have a veteran guy next to you can help. You know, I mean, it's a guy that's been through it and plays at a high level like Sam. I think any tackle in the league would be happy to have him next to him.
Hey, Coach. Along the lines of the running back room, Chris Rodriguez and Jeremy McNichols, what have you seen from them so far?
Yeah, I think just what we've always known, like when they're called upon to make a play, to make a block, to do it right, they nail it each and every time. And we feel comfortable with either one of those guys as our starting running back, and I think that's the biggest compliment I can give them. They can do it in all phases. They play special teams. They can be effective in the pass game. And so very dependable, reliable players that we feel like we can play at a high level with.
And looking ahead to the Chicago Bears, what types of challenges might that defense present to you all?
Yeah, they've really done a nice job of taking the ball away. Dennis Allen's been one of the great defensive minds in the NFL for a long time, and it's a talented roster. They're getting some players back that have missed a couple games, so I know it'll be a big challenge for us.
Hey, Coach, could you talk about the offense? Where have you seen them improve the most over the last couple games?
Yeah, I just like the run game. The physicality in the run game, I think, has really gotten better as we've gone along. I think that last drive going 99.5 yards is a big step for us, like closing the game out on our terms, being physical. They knew we had to run it, we were still able to run it, and that's, you know, that's the type of football that carries you into the postseason if you can get there, is being able to have that type of run game. So we got to keep building off of it and just continue to be consistent in that area.
And pass blocking, could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think we're continuing to improve. It's a group that we've had some moving parts, so I think when we can get consistent in there and have the same unit for multiple weeks, that always helps. And I think we made a step this last week. We got to take a step again against Chicago with a really good pass rush. Thank y'all.
Commanders offense coordinator Cliff Kingsbury there. A lot to take in. They're not going to say Cosme gets his job back. I do think Cosme eventually gets his job back. I kind of
think, don't have to say it. He will.
Right. I also kind of think I think it's the Dallas game more than the Bears game. But we'll see. Right. Today's a big day because it's a padded practice. They're going to really go for it today, and we'll kind of see where it lands.
Yeah.
With Sam, Cliff on Bill, I thought was really relevant, and Bill has been electric with the ball in his hands, undoubtedly.
Mm-hmm.
But Kingsbury said of the things Bill still has to do, he has to a ways to go about his game without the ball.
Away from the ball, yep.
Kingsbury specifically said pass pro, pass game, any sort of lead blocks. He has to keep working to become a complete back. But since day one, when he touches the ball, he does good things with
it. Yeah, and that gets you more time. But if you want to be the guy who's going to be out there even more, that pass pro is unbelievable. Carrying out a fake away from the ball is unbelievable. You have to do all those things, and he will get it. You know, you watch him. That kid basically just, he enjoys what he's doing. He always has a smile on his face, and he's going to keep improving. And as he improves, then he'll get more time. You know, most fans look at stuff, they just want to automatically throw you at the top. That's not how it works on a football field. And those are fans that have played at some level of football, you know. Your coach don't just throw you out there. You earn it. And I think Bill is earning it.
Definitely. And the more you do with the ball, the more they'll work on the other stuff with you.
There you go.
But I think a lot of folks are like if we see a bunch of C-Rod this week, that they, it's not just them like not trusting rookies or something. I've heard that. The not trusting rookies thing, Jaden started day one. Samer still started day one.
Connerly
has started day one. Lane has started day one. Amos has started day one. They'll put the guys on the field.
Totally.
That's not the issue. All right, when we return,
they just want to put you out. They don't want to put you out there and you fall on your face.
Right.
You know?
They don't want the player to fall on his face or the results.
But they don't care about your, they don't care about the damn which column either, your fantasy football teams.
No.
So that's what a lot of people care about.
Does Kingsbury strike you as a dude that cares about fantasy football?
No. Kingsbury, just like me.
You know what people sleep on, I think, with Cliff? He's a big fella. People, I don't think, realize that Cliff is kind of a unit, man. Like, yeah. He's that prototypical QB size, and I think people aren't aware of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's particularly relevant, but that's just one thing I'm going to point out today. You'll hear from Joe Witt coming up, plus John Oran joins us at 1 o'clock. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
No, you got the.
Going into the season, we would have probably said AFC North.
AFC North, yeah. You
but
saying,
they have completely
yeah,
fallen
but
apart.
Then what's the Green Bay and all them? They're good.
NFC North.
And California must be the way over the west?
The NFC West. Yeah,
yeah with, that's with.
Niners, Seahawks,
Rams. Yeah, they're good.
So, according to an ESPN poll where they use their football power index to, this is Graziano's story, to rate the best divisions. They have the NFC North tops.
Okay.
They have the Lions and the Packers ranked in this football power index.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Lions and the Packers ranked second and third overall.
Okay.
So that's going to drive that way up, way obviously.
Up. I see Minnesota's still in there too now.
They have Minnesota at 19th. Now, a lot of that's probably Carson Wentz driven.
Yeah.
Minnesota's had an advantageous schedule while they've had to start Wentz. Eventually, that's going to get tougher. So they go north tops, then the west, then the NFC West. They have the Rams 7th, the Niners 10th, the Seahawks 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Then the AFC West. This is interesting. From a football power index score, they have the Kansas City Chiefs as the best team in the NFL.
Damn.
Even at 2-3.
Damn. Why?
I don't know. So I'll try to read this to you. The Football Power Index ranks the divisions. They have KC 1, Denver 8, LA 12, the Chargers.
Okay.
Fourth, I'm guessing, is going to be the NFC East. Yeah, that's correct. They have the Eagles 4th and the Commanders 6th. The Giants 30th is gonna hurt the old average.
What are the Cowboys at?
15th.
Okay.
I'll read a little bit here. There's a lot going on here. The Eagles are the defending Super Bowl champs and have FP1's number one defense, FPI's number one defense by a decent margin over second place Houston, but they also have the 11th best offense, which feels generous, and the toughest remaining schedule. And they are defending champs in a division that hasn't had a repeat winner in 21 years. People laugh when I bring that up, but the fact is something literally always happens, just as it did to the Eagles 2 years ago when that streak was on the verge of ending.
Mm.
The Commanders, led by sensational second-year quarterback Jaden Daniels, have the number 5 offense, the number 18 defense, and the 8th easiest remaining schedule. The Cowboys, who rank 4th in FPI offensively but 31st in FPI defensively, have the exact kind of Jekyll and Hyde you'd expect from a team with that description. And the Giants, who have consistently been one of the league's worst teams for more than a decade, are last in FPI by offense and 23rd in FPI by defense. They have already turned the operation over to rookie quarterback Jackson Dart with the fifth hardest remaining schedule and no Malik Nabers.
Wow.
Philly and Washington each carry as much upside as any team in the league, and Dallas could be dangerous if it gets the defense together. But the Giants drag this division out of contention for the top spot as they feel very, very far away from being a playoff team.
So it's not just what has happened, it's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
What they're anticipating. So
that makes more sense for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like if you're trying to anticipate, I wouldn't count out Andy and Pat.
Nah, not at all.
For me, just without the use of FPI and looking at the division, I think that NFC West, if you buy the Niners, I think you could say the NFC West is really damn good.
Looks like a lot of people not buying them, though.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
Looking at the AFC, the utter collapse of the Ravens, and now Lamar's hurt. To me, it's worth pointing out they were 1-3 with Lamar, So it's not like things were going great, and then their quarterback got hurt. Do you think turning it around? I won't suggest, but can Flacco at least get them tilted upwards a little bit?
Flacco had a 26.5 quarterback rating.
True.
Or 27.6. I think it was the kid from Tennessee had a 26.5. He was playing horrible, dude. It's not like he was playing good.
No.
He was playing as bad as anybody in the league. And he's going to have better receivers. You can expect a lot. But he was playing horrible, not because it wasn't his receivers. It was because he doesn't have the arm he had at once.
Forget the FPI. Let's do the B. Mitch and Finley cooked index.
Okay.
In the AFC, the East, the Bills aren't cooked. The Pats aren't cooked. Dolphins, 1-4, cooked?
Yeah.
Cooked. The Jets, 0-5?
Cooked, yeah.
Cooked. So that's 2 out of 4 cooked. You're not the best division. The AFC North, Pittsburgh's not cooked.
Nope.
Ravens, cooked?
Somewhat.
Starting to – it's a pot it's showing a couple
sizzle.
Of bubbles.
It's starting to sizzle a little
okay.
bit. Yeah, yeah.
Bengals are 2-3. Are they cooked?
I think the Bengals are cooked.
Browns are certainly cooked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so that's 2 out of 4. You're not the best.
But they're going to upset some teams.
Especially – I mean,
they have a good defense.
AFC South, Colts definitely not cooked. Jags definitely not cooked. I don't think the Texans are.
No.
Titans are cooked.
Yeah.
Okay, that's 3 out of 4 not cooked. That's the best we've found so far.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers not cooked, Broncos not cooked, Chiefs not cooked, Raiders.
They're sizzling.
They're sizzling. Yeah. Okay, the AFC West with 3.5 teams not cooked might be the best now, so far. East certainly not the Eagles, not the Commanders. I don't think the Cowboys are.
I don't think they are.
You got an explosive offense. You got something. Giants cooked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Giants are burnt hot dog.
Yeah.
The North. I don't know that any of the North teams are cooked. Lions, hell no. Packers, no. Vikings are 3-2 and supposed to get their starting quarterback back.
And then the Bears.
I don't think the Bears are cooked. They're 2-2.
No, I don't think they're cooked.
Yeah. Bears might, on the cooked index, be in the best shape. NFC South, Bucks, no way. Falcons?
They're not cooked.
Too early.
Yeah. They got talent, bro.
Panthers?
Yeah.
They've had these two come from behind. They're 2-3.
Okay. Yeah, and they lost 30-0. No, they beat Wisconsin 30-0.
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, I don't know if it cooked.
I'll give you sizzling.
Yeah, it's sizzling.
Saints. Cook.
They that burnt pot of gumbo.
All right, and then out west, Niners not cooked, Seahawks not cooked, Rams not cooked, Cardinals 2-3.
Mm.
Little sizzle.
Yeah, because it's all about their quarterback.
You're just starting to smell it. It's
all
not
about
cooked.
Their quarterback. Yeah.
The aromas in the
get something. You got to go stir that pot a little bit.
All right, that's the cooked index. We're going with that from here forward. John Oran joins us next.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.